Hello, everyone. I'm Becca, dietitian by trade, mom 24/7, wife from the start, and when there's a few extra hours in the day, you might find me hitting the trails or on horseback.
And I'm Kara, a therapist to women, a mom to a boy, an entrepreneur, mountain junkie, and a postpartum runner.
And this is Fit for a Queen, a podcast that's devoted to the female athlete wanting to balance the teeter-totter of all the things we desire out of life as women. Performance, health, intellect, and taking time for self, even if we only get 1 minute out of the day.
We're so excited to be bringing you the queens in the athletic world who have done just that. Okay, ladies, take a seat at your thrones, grab your crowns, and welcome to Fit for a Queen. Welcome back, everyone, to Fit for a Queen. We have Crystal Gargas on today. She is a registered dietitian, nutritionist, board-certified lactation consultant, and mama of five. With an online-based nutrition practice, Crystal helps mama nurture a peaceful relationship with food and their bodies at any stage of the motherhood journey. As a survivor of an eating disorder and postpartum depression, Crystal is passionate about empowering mothers to nourish themselves first so that they may better nourish their families. Crystal infuses both personal and professional experience into her nutrition counseling practice. With over 10 years of involvement in the fields of maternal health, child nutrition, and eating disorder recovery, by serving mothers and families through her online blog and private practice, Crystal is committed to creating a community of strong, thriving mothers who are learning to nourish their families, minds, bodies, and spirits, and experience the abundance of motherhood. Thanks so much for being on, Crystal.
Hey, Crystal.
Thank you so much for having me, ladies. I'm so happy to be here.
We're happy to have you. Again, motherhood is such an important topic to us. Well, we're both moms and busy moms and working moms. And fueling ourselves and putting us first is so hard. So thanks again for being on and talking about that today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for bringing awareness to this topic. It's so important.
Well, it's so interesting. Here we're wrapping up National Nutrition Month, and you know, we have RD Day, and more as our careers evolve, we're seeing unique trends and roles. Yours is definitely quite unique. So tell us about how you got to this journey and why you decided to devote your practice to it.
Sure, absolutely. So it definitely, you know, my experience in my own life, I think, shaped what I wanted to do in terms of a career. But growing up, you know, running had always been really important to me. And I was quite the cross-country athlete in high school and in college as well. And unfortunately, I think I developed an unhealthy relationship with running, and it became just a very kind of chaotic obsession for me. I ended up struggling with an eating disorder in high school and in going into college in my early 20s, and just really struggled with understanding how to feed my body and how to take care of my body. And thankfully, I was able to connect to the treatment I needed to find that recovery and healing, and came into motherhood basically with a strong relationship in terms of how I was caring for myself and my body. But I guess I kind of should preface that with saying that, you know, as a result of my eating disorder, I was told that I may never be able to have children. You know, I lost my period for quite a long time during those years of over-exercising and struggling with undernourishing my body. And I think at the time when I had health providers tell me that, I didn't really understand the gravity of that until I met my husband and we wanted to start having children. You know, I was really terrified that I wouldn't be able to have children after everything I'd put my body through. But thankfully, from healing, I was able to have kids, and we have five children now. But having children and going through pregnancy and postpartum has just been so eye-opening for me. I think it is an incredibly vulnerable season of life for women. And sadly, there is just not a whole lot of support. And it just really made me, my own journey just made me passionate about wanting to help and serve other women who are going through the same season of life. And that's kind of what shaped the direction of my career, but I wouldn't change it for the world. I absolutely love coming alongside women. It can be such a scary time, and there's so many changes happening in your body and a lot of mental and emotional challenges. And it's being able to come alongside other women during this really crazy but yet beautiful season of life is such a blessing for me and something that I have just enjoyed so much. So that's a little bit in a nutshell. Hopefully that answers your question.
That's great. You put it so well that it is a vulnerable season of life. Yeah. And the struggles that we don't really talk about very well right now that we might be going through. So such important work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Little impressionable people that are watching everything you do, and it's kind of, you know.
No pressure.
Yeah.
Just raising a human.
I know.
Well, I think that's a great kind of lead in to my question, talking a little bit about pregnancy and the postpartum period. Do you feel that it's a time of vulnerability when it comes to eating disorder patterns if we have a history to creep back up again? Or do you think it's a time where those patterns are at rest a little bit more, that we're caring for someone else other than us? What's kind of your thoughts on pregnancy, postpartum, and the eating disorder world?
Yeah, that's such a good question. I appreciate you asking that. I think it is absolutely a vulnerable time for women, especially if you have had a history of an eating disorder. And, you know, I think it can go both ways. For some women who are coming into pregnancy in recovery, it can be very motivating, you know, to know that, okay, my body is not my own. I'm growing human, and this little baby really depends on me caring for myself and feeding myself. And, you know, I think that can be motivating for a lot of women. But it can also go the other way. I think pregnancy is also a very scary time. You know, there's a lot of changes happening in your body, and this is something I've talked about a lot too. In pregnancy, there is so much hyper focus from health providers on weight and how your body's changing. And yes, and that can be so triggering. Even for women who haven't had that history, I think when your weight becomes such a focal point, it really changes the narrative of health, you know, where you start to think that, oh, my health and the health of my baby is dependent on my weight, but that is absolutely not the case. You know, we don't have control over how our body is changing. And that is where I think dieting can just creep right back in. It's like when we feel like our circumstances and how things are changing and our bodies are out of our control, then dieting becomes really appealing again. It's like, oh, well, if I just watch what I'm eating, or if I'm super careful about, you know, these foods, or if I just try to get in, you know, this amount of exercise. But I think it's so crucial that you continue to listen to your body. And it's amazing. Like, our bodies do know exactly what we need during pregnancy. And yeah, it's hard, because I think when you've had that history of an eating disorder, it's natural to want to default to those behaviors during a transitional time in life, which is pregnancy and postpartum. And I'll speak on postpartum a little bit too. I think that's even a more significant area of challenge, simply because there's so much lack of support. You know, when we think about pregnancy, how many appointments do we have with our health provider? Like, we are constantly seeing them, you know, especially towards the end of pregnancy. We're like in there almost every week, and they're checking the baby. But then you have that little baby, and it's like everyone just pieces out. You know, there's like nobody. You have your one postpartum checkup 6 to 8 weeks after delivery, and that's it. And I think it's such an isolating time for women. You know, often it's like you're home with your baby and there's little adult interaction, unless you purposefully you know, tried to integrate yourself with other women or families, and it can be so isolating. And I think, again, that's a very vulnerable time for women. And not to mention, like, all the changes that you're experiencing, like, physically after having a baby. I don't think that's talked about enough. Like, we hyper-focus on pregnancy, and, you know, after we have a baby, like, that mother has gone through so much, and her body is changing and healing from childbirth. And, you know, I think it's very easy to fall back into eating disorder patterns just as a means of coping when mm-hmm. we go through such a transitional time in our life.
Yeah, we just interviewed a cardiologist today that's looking at hypo E, and she was saying that really pregnancy and delivery is your first big stress test.
Mm-hmm. And your heart and your body. I
think say that's that again.
So true.
And it continues to go and go and go.
I think yeah. that's such an important point about kind of the medical piece. I remember, you know, you develop this relationship with your OB and then you don't see them again. I remember it's like, I feel yeah. kind of like a breakup. That I need know. Some closure. I see you all the time. And now you're like, see you later. Like, no, you're I'm fine. Not done with this relationship.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. you know, continuing that, we know motherhood's hard enough. And self-care seems to go out the window. Can you speak about some ways that mamas can still take care of themselves, either from a nutrition standpoint, and why this needs to be still a priority?
Absolutely. You know, it's hard. I think as moms, you know, our focal point in life becomes our children, and we really are doing everything we can to nurture them and unfortunately, I think a lot of our own health gets sacrificed simply because it just gets pushed to the back burner. But, you know, I have found from my own journey and in working with other mothers that you have to keep it a priority because you can't, you know, that phrase, you can't pour from an empty cup. And if you're mm-hmm. not caring for yourself and maintaining your physical, mental, emotional health, then you have very little to give to your little people and your family and, you know, the people that you love the most. And so, yes, it is hard to make that time for self-care, but I think it's important to just do little things every day. It doesn't have to be, you know, sitting down to a gourmet meal every day, even though that would be amazing, or mm-hmm. you know, being able to go out for a walk or a run. I mean, those things are hard to do when you have children, but I think just doing small things for yourself every day, whether it's, you know, taking 5 minutes to ground yourself and, you know, do some kind of like journaling or meditation, or, you know, making sure that you're drinking enough water, or you know, having someone come in and help you for just a couple hours so that you can do something for yourself, whether it's take a hot shower or, you know, take a nap. I think there's so much pressure on moms today. And I Mommy think social shamers. Media, mm-hmm. yes, I think social media plays a big part of that. And yeah, we come into motherhood with so much expectation. It's like, so unrealistic. We're already failing before we come into the picture mm-hmm. because there's just so much you can do. You're just one person. And, you know, I try to encourage mamas to really adjust your expectations and realize that if the only thing you did for today was take care of yourself and your baby, that is more than enough. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to be superwoman. Like, you already are superwoman, and you know, you don't have to wear so many different hats. And I think that is what really causes moms to burn out. Mm-hmm. So I really think self-care is established in just kind of simplifying and readjusting expectations. And again, doing those little things that are so easy to neglect, but again, are so crucial to maintaining your overall health. And I really see health as, you know, your physical, emotional, mental, spiritual well-being. Like, what can you do to keep those aspects of your life nourished?
Absolutely.
I'm gonna have to write that quote. Self-care is established in simplifying. That's beautiful.
I love that. Becca's grabbing a pen. I know. Very quietly. You want to write that down? You can.
Aww.
We love that. That is great in simplifying. I was gonna ask you a little bit. When I went into practice, I work in like perinatal postpartum mood and eating disorders. And I thought for some silly reason that that would be like separate. but I'm working so much with moms, and it's not kind of eating disorder, but this struggle around body image. And I'm unhappy with what I look and worries around that. How do you kind of address that with some of your clients? And I'm assuming that you see so much of that too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, I think the message that's out there, you know, in our culture is that you need to, quote unquote, bounce back. And I can't tell you how infuriating that term is to me, because no, there is no such thing as bouncing back. Like, you grew a human being in your body. Like, that changes you. And I think that's not the message that women are hearing or seeing, right? Like, we see splattered across magazines everywhere, like celebrities looking bikini perfect like a month after they had a baby. That is not real life. And yes, it is very difficult to embrace the way that your body has changed through motherhood. And I definitely see that a lot. And one thing I really just try to encourage new moms with is to give yourself grace and patience, you know, to know that pregnancy is a journey and postpartum is a journey. And I think even if you can't look in the mirror and accept what you see or like what you see, you can still be the caregiver of your body. Mm-hmm. You can still absolutely do things to take care of yourself, even if you cannot come to peace with, you know, who you are. And I see it as like getting to know someone, you know, like it's like getting to know your body again after this transformative process. And it takes time. And that is one message that I really try to encourage new mamas with, is give yourself time, give yourself patience, give yourself grace as you learn to get to know this new body that you're in. And even though you may not be able to love that body that you're in right now, you can still take care of yourself. You know, it's like being in a relationship. Like, relationships are not always easy and they don't always feel comfortable, but you still do things out of care and love. And I think that's an important way to look at your body too. You know, that how you care for yourself shouldn't be dependent on how you feel about your body that day, because that changes. Some days you might feel amazing and other days you might feel horrible, but you can still do little things like, you know, move in your body in ways that feel good, eat foods that make you feel good, dress for your body in a way that makes you feel good in the body that you are in now, you know, not the body that you had, because you're changed and that's okay.
Yeah, I always think like, your body produced this amazing thing, and we, for some reason, want to make that body go away versus, like, what an experience your body went through.
And if you're focused on that, what is it taking you away from? What are you missing when you're too preoccupied?
Yeah,
I find that so many moms, you know, there's so much mental space just taken up with body image, and it can be so freeing to let go of that and realize like, wow, I have so much more mental space now to focus on the things that are really important to me, you know?
Absolutely. Well, can you tell us a little bit more about your practice and your Thrive Through Motherhood program?
Sure. I would love to. Thank you so much for asking. So I work with mothers. I think, again, as we talked about, you know, pregnancy and postpartum, this transitional time in life can bring up so many vulnerabilities when it comes to how you care for your body, how you feed yourself, and also if you have other children, you know, how you're feeding your own children and your family. And I am so passionate about coming alongside mothers, particularly moms who have struggled with a history of an eating disorder, or, you know, even if it's not a full-blown eating disorder, but maybe they've had a history of chronic dieting or are just feeling really insecure about how to feed themselves or their children. You know, my programs are really focused on helping moms and supporting them through this time, whether it's during pregnancy or postpartum or even beyond postpartum. I think sometimes raising children can bring up some of those deep insecurities we have about ourselves. And so I really help moms kind of address those things and deal with them. And I think first it's important to focus on mom first, you know, and that's something I do in my work through my practice, is helping mom kind of heal through any unresolved eating or body image related issues. And once we can address those things, I find it's so much easier to then focus on how can you best now care for your family. You know, it has to come again from a place of wholeness from mom to give to her family. So yeah, that's kind of it in a nutshell. But I do have an online blog that I write on pretty regularly about all kinds of different motherhood related issues. And am looking to kind of evolve that over the next year or so. But I'm just very passionate about helping moms during this time in their lives, because it brings up so much, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, but thank you again for asking.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a sucker for a beautiful website. You have a beautiful website and such great information.
Thank you.
I share and post a lot of things on our website too, so you have good stuff. A great place to go to for more resources.
And we have lots of quotes that we're going to pull from this podcast.
Thank you so much, Lainey.
Well, Crystal, we always wrap up each one asking our interviewee how they live out the FIT philosophy, which is balancing performance, health, intellect, and time for self. Or in your quote, it may be, how do you kind of keep that cup full?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for asking that. And I'm sure you could both relate. And I think it's kind of an ongoing process, especially in motherhood, you know. Some days are easier than others to care for yourself and keep that cup full. But I really like to look at it as doing little things each day, you know, and I think health is kind of accumulation of each day, you know, and how do you treat yourself over the long run? And for me, I think it's important to nurture that part of you that or continue to do things in your life that are life-giving. You know, what are the things that fill you up? And for me, it could be, you know, reading for 10 minutes by myself, or, you know, going outside for some fresh air, taking a break from social media. You know, I think sometimes when we think of self-care, it's kind of like a trendy word right now. And there's a lot of misconception about what that is, and it doesn't
Spa
mean
packages.
Exactly. I think it's just doing those little things that you know are life-giving to you, and that's different for everybody, but it doesn't have to be this extravagant thing. I think finding ways to nurture yourself, again, physically, emotionally, mentally, and giving yourself grace. You know, motherhood is not about finding a perfect balance. I don't think such a thing exists. I think it kind of ebb and flows, you know. But again, it's keeping a finger on where you're at throughout the process, and realizing if something is off, you know, that there's something that you might need to tend to yourself. And being able to pause and give that to yourself, because if mama burns out, you know, it definitely affects the entire family.
Yes. Mama ain't happy.
Nobody's happy.
I think that is so true.
Yes, right?
Well, Crystal, thanks so much for being on. And I know you've got a new little one, right? How old is your youngest?
Yes, she is 2 months tomorrow. Oh, and it's just, I think by the fifth one, I've been able to relax a little bit.
And I bet so. I hope so. Yeah.
Enjoy this newborn phase, even though, you know, I'm not getting very much sleep. I think I realize that it's just a short season and it really does go by and, you know, just giving myself that space.
Yeah, it gets better, Mama.
Oh, I know. Thank you so much.
Well, again, thanks so much for being on. If you're interested in looking into Crystal's services and her program, go to www.crystalgargas.com. Crystal, so much for being on. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you so much, Lainey. Thank you. Bye, Queens.
Bye.
Thank you to our sponsor today, Sentimano Counseling. Sentimano Counseling is the premier perinatal mental health practice in Kansas City, treating mood disorders during pregnancy and postpartum, perinatal loss, infertility, eating, and exercise disorders. Go to sentimano.com for further information about the practice and services. For additional information on today's topic and guests, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FitForAQueen. And
hashtag fit for a queen.
And don't forget to rate us on iTunes. We can't wait for you to join us next time on Fit for a Queen.
Bye, queens.